So this is my bird Tango. He's a little prince, and he'll only drink water out of a glass, as you can see. But about a year ago, he flew straight out of my front door, and I lost him. I was searching for about 7 hours, mainly barefoot, because I'd ran straight out the door after him, running around trying to see if there's this tiny little white bird in the sky. And we got my neighbours, we got another bird to come and help to shout at him, and hopefully he'd reply back. We ended up in random people's gardens, but we did get him back. And although he was probably the biggest thing I've ever lost, the thing is, I am perpetually losing things. Whether it's my keys, my phone, my driver's license, I cannot seem to stop losing everything. And maybe some of you are the same. Maybe you've spent far too long turning your house upside down for your wallet or for one important piece of paper that you swear you put somewhere safe. But losing things is not just a modern day problem. It's a common part of being human. And in fact, even people in the Bible are prone to losing things. Jesus thought that it was important enough that he actually told 3 parables about it in a single chapter. So this chapter is Luke 15, where Jesus is talking to a group of sinners and tax collectors, a group of people who you could argue as being seen as lost in society's eyes. But Jesus saw them differently, and so told them some very important things about being lost. So the first parable is the parable of the lost sheep, from Luke chapter 15, verses 4 to 6. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." At first, this might seem like a bit of a silly decision. One lost sheep out of 100, the majority of people would probably consider that a small, unacceptable loss. But not God. God loves each of them individually, and so even if he loses only one person, it matters to him. All of us matter to him. There is also some important context here. Being a shepherd in Judea was not an easy job. The terrain was rough, with dangerous cliffs, arid deserts, and scarce pastures. Searching for a single sheep in that wilderness would have been exhausting and dangerous. Yet Jesus says that is just what God does for us. He chases after the one. Even if the road is rocky, even if the search is long, even if everyone else says that it's not worth it. Sometimes we have to keep on trying, even if others can't see why we carry on, so long as we know the goal, and we just might convince them in the end. This is Callum's Road. After decades of campaigning by the residents of Rasse for a road connecting the north end of the village to the south end, Callum decided to build the road himself. Over 10 years, he built 2 miles worth of road with only a shovel, a wheelbarrow, and a pick. By the end of constructing the road, him and his wife were the only people left living in that part of the village. Though, in the end, he was given a British Empire Medal for his services on the road, and the road was finally resurfaced by the council. Just as he didn't give up, and a shepherd didn't give up, this is God doesn't give up for us. The best part about this parable is that when God finds the sheep, he doesn't tell it off and say, "How could you walk away from me?" Not sure about any of you, but if I had to risk my life just for a single sheep, I'd be pretty annoyed by the end of it. And I'd be probably annoyed with the sheep too for wandering off. But God is different. Where people give up hope and become angered by the search, God's love for us is so deep that he is happy no matter how long and how difficult the journey is to find us. In fact, God rejoices when the lost become found. He lifts the sheep onto his shoulders joyfully because in his eyes, the act of finding us is a celebration. Who knows who this is? No. It's Evie Pig. This is Peppa Pig's new younger sister. And if any of you have been lucky enough to escape the news, you'll have missed all the celebration that's gone around this. So at first, Mummy Pig announced her pregnancy on Good Morning Britain with a tiny little ultrasound. And then there's a gender reveal outside Battersea Power Station where they light up the towers pink to show it was a girl. And finally, she was born in, apparently, the Lindo Wing of St. Mary's Hospital, which, if you don't know, is reserved for royals mainly. And I don't know about you, but I would call this quite a big celebration for one baby. A fictional baby pig. And if we're celebrating this much for a baby that doesn't even actually exist, I think our celebration for God's love, something that is real and actually changes lives, should be much, much bigger than this one. Jesus then continues on with two more parables, the lost coin and the prodigal son. The lost coin, a story of a woman turning her house upside down to find a single silver coin, and when she does, she calls her friends and neighbours to celebrate. And then there's the parable of the prodigal son, where a son takes his inheritance early, wastes it all, and returns home in shame. But instead of punishment, his father runs to meet him, wraps him in his arms, dresses him in the finest robes, and throws a feast in his honour. So the theme here is that God celebrates when the lost are found, not quietly to himself just saying, oh, thank goodness we found him, but instead with a joy so deep that it overflows into a full party. But the story here does not stop without God finding us. What about us when we find God? In Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. Then in his joy, he went and sold all he had and bought that field. The man gives up everything because he knows the treasure he's found is worth more than anything else he knows he owes. That treasure is the kingdom of God. That treasure is the love of God. Once we experience it, once we truly understand the grace and mercy that we have been shown, we should want to give our whole lives in response. That doesn't mean quitting your job, selling all you own, and becoming a monk, but it does mean making God the foundation of every part of your life. But what does that mean? It means praying before decisions. It means giving thanks in good times and running to him in the bad ones. It means sacrificing comfort or convenience sometimes in order to live with integrity. But God finding us is not just something of parables and stories. Jesus himself goes and finds the disciples. Jesus called upon James and John while they were mending their nets by the Sea of Galilee. Philip was called by Jesus while in Galilee also. Matthew was called upon Jesus while working as a tax collector, and upon hearing Jesus, left everything behind to follow him. Jesus called upon his disciples individually to follow him, just as he does with us. Jesus wants to know us as individuals and calls upon us to have that relationship with him. He called each of them by name, and he still does that today with us. Others began to follow Jesus by hearing from the other disciples, such as Andrew, Peter's brother, and Nathaniel, who was invited by Philip. Each of us is unique, and we each have our own unique ways to Jesus. So even though sometimes we don't find him completely directly, there's always a way to him. So what is the real life application of this? Firstly, I think that we should all remember that no matter what we do and how far we stray from God, he is always looking for us. He is overjoyed to have a relationship with each and every one of us. And so, whatever you do wrong, God is always there to return to, and he will welcome us back to him. Secondly, we should also rejoice in this relationship. There's nothing more valuable than God's love, and once we experience it, and find it, our dedication should be towards it. Finally, this relationship is something that we can share with others. We can help others find God, and we have a duty to share that news. As Jesus says in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Others around us deserve to know Jesus and the incredible joy he brings, so we should spread the good news. So, to quickly summarize, God rejoices in his relationship with us, and so should we. And because of that, we need to share the word and help others be lost, not found. No. Oh my gosh. That's like the opposite. Yes. Oh my gosh. Be not lost, but found.